And by his grace, he provides for them manna to take them all the way to the promised land for free. But they started getting upset. They didn't like this manna. They started grumbling. We don't want manna. You know what they wanted? Meat. We want meat, not manna. We're tired of manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. And so God gave them meat. He gave them meat up to their nostrils, quail. And you know what? They got what they wanted, but the Bible says he sent leanness into their souls.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We've all had times where we prayed for something and God seemingly didn't answer. Well, today we're going to see that sometimes you have to be careful what you pray for. God just might go ahead and give it to you. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, When Prayers Don't Get Answered.
How come God's not answering? Just keep praying. 3 months. He got so upset one day. He said, I've been praying every day. I've been praying like crazy. And God's not answering my prayer. That's it. Well, it was at 4 months that God did something in his wife. She repented deeply. And she came back, not only to him, but first to the Lord. And she came home. You know what, though? Because he had let his heart get hardened, when she came back, he didn't accept her. He said, I don't love you anymore. I've been waiting too long. You decide to go another way. That's it. And his heart was hardened. And I thought, oh, you idiot. I can't believe it. You see, I say this to people, especially now during this time. If you don't give thanksgiving, you will become a turkey. You know, just, oh, you got to keep. I make up my own jokes. Are you kind of catching that by now? But, you know, I thought, oh, no, don't do that. Because what happens, see, if you don't guard your heart with thanksgiving, when God answers it, you don't have a heart to receive it. So he says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You see, a thankful heart is a guarded heart. And sometimes things may not work out the way you like, but that's why God says, let's read Romans 8:28. Go. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. Yeah, God knows, even though it's beyond your understanding. Stay thankful. To say, Lord, I know you're on the throne. I don't understand why this is happening, but thank God you're on the throne and you do. I trust you. I trust you. And you keep that heart guarded. The story is told of a guy whose boat capsized way out in the ocean. And he's stranded on this island, and he's praying to God every day, God, rescue me. Nothing. Year two. God, rescue me. Nothing. So he figures he just has to make for himself. He just takes the driftwood and makes a shelter and a house and learns how to make fire and everything. And he does real good, lives off of crabs and fish. Year three, year four, praying. Nothing. One day his fire gets out of hand and burns his house down to add insult to injury. And he just punches the sand. Says, that's it, God, that's it. I've been praying and I've been praying. You're not answering my prayer. Whole night he's crying out to God. Early the next day, he hears this chopper coming over. And it's a Coast Guard. Lands right next to him. Rescues him. And he says, how'd you guys know I was stranded? They said, oh, we saw your smoke signal. Good idea. You know, God works all things together for good. But we've got to keep our hearts right. But you know, sometimes we just throw up the most frivolous prayers. God, I want this. No, 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 no. God, I want this one. No, that one's nicer. Forget this one. God, I want this. And the Lord's saying, grow up. You know, sometimes we just desecrate prayer like God is this genie at our command. And the Lord says, you don't understand the reverence of prayer, do you? No, prayer, like Daniel said, prayer was Daniel humbling himself in order to understand God. You see, God is saying to us, would you write down in your second bullet, learn to pray with wisdom. We get too frivolous. Learn to pray with wisdom. Just be careful. Be careful. Ecclesiastes 5 from the Book of Wisdom, Solomon reminds us, would you read this with me? Go. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. Why? For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. In other words, God is saying, I'm doing stuff in the heavenlies you don't even understand. You're on the earth. Be careful, lest you blow off some steam here and yell at God here and throw a word here and become frivolous in your conclusions. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Pray wisely. Because sometimes we pray in the wrong ways, don't we? We pray for something and then God, we get mad if God doesn't give it to us. And we're in a bad shape if he does. Someone said that there's two pains in life. One is to not get what you crave for, and the other pain is when you get it. How many of us have prayed and prayed and prayed for something, and after we get it, about a year or two later, we say, God, take this away. Yeah? Don't look to your left or right. Just look straight ahead. That happened. The Lord says, learn to pray wisely. I tell people, I'm so glad God didn't answer all my prayers. I remember in high school, I saw this beautiful cheerleader with pom-poms. I said, God, please, if you do anything in my life, just let her be my wife. I saw her at our 25th reunion. I am so glad God did not answer. You know, God knows what's best. And he says, pray wisely. Yeah, but I want this. I want this. And you know what sometimes we do? If God doesn't give it to us, we have a tendency to take shortcuts. We do an end run on God, and by hook or crook, we maneuver and manipulate, and we grab this thing, and then, you know what? We say, God, bless this, will you? We know it may not be the way God wanted us, and it wasn't done his way. Then we say, God bless this. You see, would you write down in your next bullet, prayer is not forcing God to do something for you. Prayer is not forcing God. Nah. Oh, sometimes we grab something and we say, now God bless what I'm doing. And God is saying, let me teach you a wiser way to pray. It is not God bless what I'm doing. It is God help me to do what you're blessing. Because see, prayer is pulling us to him. So Billy Graham said once, he said, I saw a big ship docking at the pier. They threw these huge ropes out around which it was put on these stalwart beams on the dock. And the engines of the ship began to whir. And that which were slack ropes now became tight and taut. And when the engines began to roll this rope up, I noticed something interesting. The dock was not pulled out to the ship. The ship was pulled into the dock. And he said, that's how prayer is. Prayer is not pulling God to us. Prayer is allowing God to pull us to him. And that's exactly what Daniel said. The angel said, the first day that you humbled yourself to understand what God was saying, God dispatched his answer. And he had to do something much more than you thought or could see or expected. For 21 days, there is some spiritual battle being done. You know, and for some of our lives, it's a lot longer. It's much bigger. But God is saying to us, but don't bail out in the interim. Don't do an end run on me. Because if you do, I've got to rewind the tape and pull you back in. And then start again. And then you go do an end run. And I've got to work with you to bring you back in. And then start again. But if you will wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. So when you pray, pull the cord. But trust him. Because he can see much further than you can or I. And give him the power to override. That's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's read what he prays in Luke 22. Go. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Yeah. You see, sometimes we want God to do something, we almost force him. And then if he doesn't, we get mad at him and our heart goes hard. God is saying, you know, you don't understand prayer yet. You see, if we demand, we become like the children of Israel that demanded from God. They craved in the desert, the Bible said. And they demanded from God like little kids, but they forfeited something in the process. How many of you, you have these little kids, Daddy, I want this. No, no, I want this. No, no, I want that. No, no, I want this. Then take it. Shut up. Get out of here now. Get out of here. Now, you got that thing, but you just lost a relationship with your dad. You see, you can get what you want, but sometimes the price is forfeiting something you don't want to forfeit. So you ask, but you wait for him to answer. And even if it doesn't come in the way you expect, he's actually doing something greater. See, the children of Israel were like that. Let's read the next scripture out of Psalm 106. Go. They lusted exceedingly and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You see, what was happening was God delivered them out of Egypt. And by his grace, he provides for them manna to take them all the way to the promised land for free manna. But they started getting upset. They didn't like this manna. They started grumbling. We don't want manna. You know what they wanted? Meat. We want meat, not manna. We're tired of manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. And so God gave them meat. He gave them meat up to their nostrils. Quail, flocks of quail, dead quail. He said, now eat. And you know what? They got what they wanted, but the Bible says he sent leanness into their souls. They had devastated their relationship with God. And the Lord says, don't be like that. That you demand and you do an end run on and you get, and then your soul is barren because of it. God does answer. But why does God say to be patient and to trust? The reason, here it is. I want us to read this little quote beneath. Go. The reason, the Holy Spirit will not only answer our prayer for our life, he'll go a step further. Listen to this. When we pray, the Holy Spirit, who is the courier of God's promise to our life, he won't just answer your prayer for your life. He'll go a step further. Would you write it in number 3? He will answer the Father's prayer for our life. You see, the Father has a will for you. The Father intercedes for you. He has a prayer for your life, as it were. Now, sometimes we want a little temporary kind of thing here. We just want God to answer this little temporal prayer here. And the Father says, well, but this is my prayer for you. It's 1,000 times better. And the Holy Spirit's caught in between. So the Holy Spirit's going to say, who am I going to answer? That prayer, which is far less, or your prayer, Father, which is much greater? I'm going to answer the Father's prayer for your life because I love you too much to just answer yours. And you must trust. Because when I pray and pull the cord, that's all right. You got to do it, because a lot of times when I'm praying, it reveals stuff in my own heart. It opens up the layers. I'm praying. And sometimes God reveals stuff to me. And in the process of praying, I realize that God wants something greater. And always remember, before God changes the situation, he often changes the one who's praying about the situation. He does that with me all the time. I'll pray about my wife, and I'll go into the chapel. We have a chapel in our house. It's called a bathroom. And there before the throne, I won't tell you whose, I pray for my wife. God, change that woman. Oh, God, she needs counseling. She needs help. God, how come she says those little things and those little things? You know, oh, God, change her, change her. Glory to God, change her. And then God starts revealing stuff in me. Well, why did she have that little snippy word? I told her to grow up. Ah, well, you might not want to say that. Why? She's immature. She needs to grow up. Yeah, but you need to grow up in the area of people skills. You got some pretty immature people skills here. Yeah, but. Oh, God, really? Yeah, and if you would change your heart, she wouldn't respond like that because she's only responding to you. If you're mature, she is. If you're immature, guess what? So it starts with you. Really? Yeah, it's your heart. Really? Yeah. Okay, God, change my heart. And you see, it's in the prayer, the deliberation and the processing of this stuff, God fillets my heart. And so, yeah, pull the cord, but you've got to trust him because he sees much more than what I see. And instead of just answering that little temporal prayer, he says, I'm going to do much more exceedingly beyond you can ask or even pray for. I won't answer less. I'll answer more. And there may be spiritual stuff going on that you have no comprehension of. So when you pray, I start, but it's in a different way. And you've got to trust. I won't answer just your prayer. I'll go a step further. I'll answer the Father's prayer. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying. Let's read what it says here in Romans 8. Go. The Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Ah, you mean he is interceding for us? Yeah, according to what? My will? No, the will of the Father. See, the Holy Spirit's going to do not just, he's not going to just answer my prayer. He's going to go a step further. He's going to answer the Father's prayer for my life. And it won't be answered often in the way that you expect. It'll be answered a much greater way. But we've got to be patient and trust. I remember when Anna and I were in Bible college, I was a youth pastor getting $50 a month, and I was working part-time in a photo shop and making just part-time money. And when we got married, we didn't even have enough money to pay for the church, the rental. My dad had to pitch in, and I was just praying that we had enough money that came in from the gifts so we could take a honeymoon to the coast. That was it. We had Zippo. I mean, Anna and I were not poor. We was poor. And when we got our first apartment, it was $175 a month. I couldn't afford that every month because I was going to Bible college and putting her through as well and working just part-time. And so when the guy said it was $175, I said, hey, can I just like sweep the walkways and cut the lawn? I'll do it every other week. I'll sweep every week just so we can cut our apartment rent down. And so he said, if you'll take the pass key and help people in when they have problems, and if you can help them, we will cut your rent down. So they cut it from $175 to $75 a month. And that's what we could afford. That's it. And I remember when our tires would get bald. I mean, I just run those suckers still there, bald, you know, no, nothing left. I thought it was cool in the wintertime because I could show my wife. I'd say, watch this. Yeah. She says, because they're bald, honey, they're bald. So I'd have to go to like junkyards and find tires off of wrecked cars that would fit the same rim. And so I'd have all these different kinds of rims and tires. And it's a very unique automobile, very unique. That's all we had. And I cannot tell you how many times I prayed to God being ashamed. I pray, oh God, get me out of this. I'm trying to serve you. I'm doing the best I can. I don't have any money. And I just prayed. I was so embarrassed. And you have to find like free stuff in town. You know, I knew where every potluck was. And I started became very innovative. When I'd get real hungry, hey, here's a really good one. We went to like Hickory Farms because they had samples of salami and cheese. I would just load up. I would try every one of those, man. And so, you know, you can have like dinner in those places for free. So I figured out all the free stuff. But, oh, I'd be so embarrassed. Oh, God, God. And we'd eat siamese. We ate oodles of noodles. That's what we lived on. But, you know, through all of that, I look back on it now. I tell you, I wouldn't change a bit of that season. Oh, it was hard. It was hard. But you know, it was maybe 4 years or so, 5 years. It's really, really tough. But it was during those years that I learned how to depend on God. all of the lessons of faith I learned then to believe for miracles. I mean, believe for miracles and see them come to pass. I would learn how to be innovative, be creative, how to be satisfied with very little. I would learn how to be resourceful. I mean, like take two sticks and just rub them together and make fire or something. We just learned how to do that. And it was okay. And it was okay. And you know, once we were okay with that, then God could add and our hearts would not be attached and connected to these things. Because then we would steward them. Why? Because we learned to be okay with very little. So when God adds, we're okay. We'll steward them. But if God says, take this away, give this away, it's not like that big of a deal. Because we've learned so much in the season where we had so little. Did God answer my prayer? Not in the way that I asked Him to. And you know what? I'm glad. Because He answered it in a much greater way. Because my deeper prayer was, Lord, teach me how to be a servant of the Most High God. I don't know how to. And so He answered that prayer. That was the Father's will and the Father's prayer for me, not my prayer for me. Did He answer my prayer? More than we'll ever know. So what do we do? You keep pulling the cord because God may fillet your heart. But always give the driver. Give God the power to override. So pull the cord, but let Him drive the bus. He knows where He's going. Amen. 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 Would you stand with me as we conclude in prayer? Well, it's good to be back home with each of you. And I tell you, no matter where we go, I tell my wife, I just can't wait to get back because I'd rather be in front of this group than any other group in the world. Your hearts are so open to the things of God, and we're all learning together. We're all discovering together. We're all mining out stuff together. And there's no deeper relationships that we can build when we're all in the same classroom with the Holy Spirit as our teacher. Would you reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you? We're going to pray, and then you know what we're going to do? We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. Is that all right? And we're going to sing that, and part of it's going to be a cappella. So as we sing, really sing, because there won't be a lot of instruments. It's like Acapulco, so sing it out. And then we'll just lift our voices to the Lord. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for these whose hands we're holding. It's a family with whom we're learning so much. Father, I pray for this group, wonderful, wonderful people whose hearts are so open. But Lord, I pray especially for those who may not know You as Lord and Savior. Father, would You let them know that You designed this moment for them, that they would open their hearts to You, to say yes to You as Lord and Savior. Oh, Jesus, help us all to learn how to be people who pray with thankful hearts and to trust You, knowing that You will answer, not less than, but greater than what we expect. But it'll be different, and it'll require trust. Father, we may not understand things, some things, until we go home and be with You in heaven. But until then, give us a peace that surpasses all comprehension. And now, Lord, these who need You, Lord, let this be the beginning of the rest of their lives as they receive You as Lord and Savior. And with your head still bowed, we're going to pray a prayer. And if you've not received Jesus, man, make this the cry of your heart. But let's all pray this together. And if this is your first time that you will have said this prayer, outside there's a connections table. They have a follow-up packet for you. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Please just say, hey, I prayed that prayer to receive Christ. They'll give you one free of charge. It'll help you in your first few steps with the Lord. But let's all pray this prayer. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that You came, died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Forgive me of my sins and change me, make me new. I receive You as Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everyone can hear
so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for being a people who are learning to pray with spirits of excellence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you thank the Lord with a clap offering? Go ahead.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, When Prayers Don't Get Answered. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and Aloha.
What if there was a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams?
New Hope is a place where teachers invest into the lives of their students, a place where students come to learn and leave market ready.
For more info, register at newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638.